15-year-old Ellie Mack was the golden child, beautiful, brilliant, and destined for Cambridge University. She had fallen in love with Theo Goodman, the most handsome boy in school, and her future seemed limitless. Then, one spring morning, while walking to the library, she disappeared without a trace. The investigation was exhaustive, house-to-house searches across 5 miles, questioning of every known sex offender in Greater London, hundreds of hours of CCTV footage reviewed, television appeals seen by millions. The last confirmed sighting? Grainy footage showing Ellie checking her reflection in a car window, adjusting her signature ponytail. Her bedroom remained frozen in time, piggy bank still containing birthday money, toothbrush in the bathroom, school uniform laid out for Monday. After 2 years of dead ends, police quietly downgraded the search from active to cold case. What had been a normal middle-class family shattered completely. How quickly the petty irritations of everyday life, cat fur on clothes, overflowing bins, teenagers who wouldn't clean their rooms, evaporated, replaced by consuming terror and raw despair. Every morning brought the same gut-wrenching realization. Ellie was still gone. 10 years after Ellie's disappearance, her mother, Laurel, exists in a half-life. Her marriage to Paul couldn't survive their fundamental difference in processing grief. While he eventually joined a support group and suggested packing away Ellie's things, Laurel couldn't accept what felt like betrayal. Their remaining children scattered faster than they might have otherwise. Jake to Devon, where he opened a surf shop, Hannah to a demanding city job that kept her too busy to think about the sister-shaped hole in her life. Laurel fills empty days with a part-time marketing job and weekly visits to her elderly mother, who's beginning to forget Ellie ever existed. She constructs activities that give the appearance of normalcy while masking the screaming void within. The police call with devastating news. Human remains have been found near Dover. Ellie's rucksack containing her clothes, school supplies, and, peculiarly, Hannah's passport. Forensic evidence confirms the worst. Partial remains of Ellie, apparently run over by a vehicle, dragged through woodland, and buried in a shallow grave. Ellie hired a tutor after receiving a B+ in math, despite her mother suggesting cheaper options. Noelle Donnelly arrived, 40-ish, with pale red hair, wide shoulders, a stooped neck, and small teeth. Though disheveled and smelling of cooking oil, she proved excellent, helping Ellie excel. During winter, Noelle grew closer to Ellie, bringing gifts and showing unusual interest in Theo. One March Tuesday, her behavior shifted dramatically. Instead of teaching, she asked disturbing questions about the worst thing that ever happened to you and dismissed Ellie's university ambitions. Afterward, Ellie told her mother she wanted to stop tutoring, hiding her true discomfort. What Ellie couldn't know was Noelle's growing obsession with her. During May half-term, Ellie encountered Noelle on the high street. Despite her instincts warning against it, Ellie agreed to follow her for a practice exam paper. No one witnessed Ellie entering Noelle's small, scruffy house or heard the door close behind her. Ellie was drugged with sleeping medication in elderflower squash at Noelle's house. She awoke in a basement room where Noelle controlled her through treats and punishment. Through a high window showing only undergrowth, a brick wall, and cherry blossoms, Ellie wrote help and her name in the dirt, hoping for rescue. Noelle had methodically planned this abduction for months. She had tracked Ellie's ovulation cycle and studied fertility techniques. During what Ellie thought were medical examinations, Noelle artificially inseminated her using sperm from a young PhD student found online. Eventually, Ellie felt strange sensations, small judders and champagne-like fizz beneath her skin, her first experiences of fetal movement. Her stomach stretched with visible ripples and kicks from the growing life inside. When confronted, Noelle claimed God had chosen Ellie to carry this child. 10 years after Ellie's disappearance, Laurel meets Floyd Dunn, an American mathematician, when he deliberately sits beside her in a cafe despite empty tables. Their relationship develops quickly, with Floyd proving intellectually engaging and refreshingly honest. On their second date, Laurel meets his older daughter, Sarah Jade, a striking young woman with white blonde hair. The next morning, she encounters Floyd's 9-year-old daughter, Poppy, whose resemblance to Ellie is uncanny, from the dimple in her left cheek to her broad forehead and characteristic head tilt. As Laurel spends more time with them, she notices troubling patterns. During dinner at her flat, the evening becomes the Floyd and Poppy show, with Poppy commanding attention while Laurel feels like a spectator. This dynamic, initially charming, gradually takes on an unsettling quality that Laurel cannot ignore. Laurel discovers a letter at Floyd's house addressed to Noelle Donnelly, Poppy's mother and an Irish math tutor who briefly taught Ellie before her disappearance. From Hannah, Laurel learns Ellie had found Noelle weird and creepy and stopped the lessons. Suspicions intensify when Sarah Jade questions whether Ellie actually ran away, noting the strange discovery of Ellie's rucksack with identical items years later. SJ also reveals seeing a naked, 8-month pregnant Noelle who showed no visible baby bump. At Noelle's former house, Laurel finds a disturbing basement room with multiple locks, a sofa bed, TV, and abandoned hamster cages. She takes a watermelon-flavored lip balm from under the sofa bed, later realizing it completes a set with Ellie's papaya, mango, and honeydew melon ones. On Christmas Eve, Floyd sends Laurel a video confession, revealing he'd discovered Poppy wasn't his biological child after seeing Ellie's Crime Watch reconstruction. He deliberately sought out Laurel to reunite Poppy with her grandmother. Floyd also confesses that Noelle Donnelly is buried in his garden after dying accidentally during a confrontation about Ellie and Poppy. As the video ends, Laurel realizes Floyd has fled. Her thoughts are interrupted by Poppy asking for help with her ponytail. While brushing the child's hair, Laurel's maternal instincts reawaken. Poppy reveals Floyd told her the truth, that Noelle wasn't her real mother, but Laurel's daughter was. When Laurel confirms this, describing Ellie as wonderful, golden, perfect, and telling Poppy she's exactly like her, the child asks fearfully, "Is she dead?" 8 months later, at Hannah's wedding to Theo, Laurel stands with Poppy, who now calls her Mama and has become the family's joy. At 55, Laurel has embraced motherhood again, though nightmares about Ellie still come, but are beginning to fade. In the epilogue, a letter found in a secondhand book reveals Ellie's fate. Noelle kidnapped her in 2005 and held her captive for about 18 months. Ellie writes that she gave birth to Poppy around April 2006 and pleads for her daughter's care. Her final words to Laurel, Paul, Jake, and Hannah express love and reassurance that she is brave and brilliant and strong. This post message provides the family with much needed closure. The story ultimately transcends a missing person case to explore how families rebuild from tragedy, creating something different yet equally meaningful from what was lost.